You've heard of the Rolling Stones, but now we're talking about kidney stones. Oh, and we've got the Mick Jagger of kidney stones here, Dr. Peter Ince.
I like this intro.
Wow, I like it.
Welcome to Talking with Docs. I'm Dr. Brad.
I'm Dr. Paul Zalzo.
I'm Dr. Peter Ince.
Tell us, why is Jack flash jumping so much with these kidney stones?
My. Kidney stones are probably the most painful condition known to the human race.
Okay.
People who get these say that they're worse than childbirth, worse than fracturing a leg, worse even than hemorrhoids.
Whoa.
And the main issue is because that tiny little tube doesn't like to be stretched, right? Because if you cut your ureter with a knife, it doesn't necessarily sense that. But if you distend it and things get blocked, that's what causes a severe pain.
Right. And that's important because people say, oh, I've got a stone in my kidney. And they'll come and see me. And I said, that's not causing your pain. Stones cause pain when they fall out of the kidney and get stuck in the tube, and then the urine backs up and the kidney stretches. And that's what causes the pain.
All right, so let's talk about what are they? What are these stones? Are these like gravel? What are these stones made of? Where do they go that causes all the pain? You kind of alluded to that. And what do we do about it when this happens? So what are these stones made of?
So the stones are deposits in the kidney, and they're made of different substances, and I don't think we'll get into all of it, but the majority of them are going to be calcium-based, calcium phosphate, calcium
oxalates,
and then there's other things like uric acid stones, which are about 10%, then you get stones caused by infection, and there's genetic things like cystine stones, but most people are going to have calcium-based stones or uric acid or a combination of those. And they basically form deposits that grow in the edge of the drainage system of the kidney. So little tubules in the kidney form these calcifications, which grow over time. You ever grow crystals in grade two?
Yeah.
These crystals grow, and then one day, you know, you're going over the railway tracks or somebody kicks you, and then that stone breaks off, and it goes down into that little tube and gets stuck. And then that's when hell breaks loose.
Okay, so these kidney stones, 80% of them are calcium-based. They're in the fluids that you're peeing out, but they get deposited. And they get deposited in the kidneys and can sometimes go in the ureter. What are some of the risk factors that can make this happen? You mentioned genetic conditions as some. Uric acid, so people who have metabolism issues.
There's, you know, statistically, you know, being male, 2 to 1.
Okay.
As you get older, it's going to be more common. And then lifestyle things like over or under hydration. So if you're not drinking enough water, you can't dissolve the crystal elements and you get super saturation and they precipitate out. I don't know if you remember that from high school chemistry.
Yeah. We do.
So those are common things. And then if you eat excess, that's why they say eat a balanced diet. So if you're eating cooked spinach every day because you think it's good for you, you're going to get oxalates. And oxalates will precipitate out and you get stones. So a balanced diet's important as well. Don't eat the same thing every day, even though it's good for you. Vary your diet.
Okay, and the hydration piece, that's kind of one of the most important things. I know we've made other videos when we're talking about frequency of urination, saying don't drink too much.
Drink too much.
But in this case, we're saying, hey, make sure you drink enough.
And again, the standard is, I tell people, look in the toilet. If it looks like it's, you know, not concentrated dark yellow, if it's looking light, then you're probably drinking a reasonable amount.
Okay, but if a dark yellow urine means it might be too concentrated, maybe drink a bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're talking about water.
Yeah, right. And if you are a stone former, unfortunately, you have to drink at least 1.5 to 2 liters of water a day to help prevent that super saturation.
Okay.
Right, and this is really common. Like 10% of people get stones, I think I read, and then of those unfortunate people, if you've had one, I think I read 5 years, 30% chance of a second one, and 10 year, like 50%. Like,
exactly.
Get ready for that second one, and you've been in so much pain, you just wish it away, I'm sure.
Okay, about the pain now. So the main symptom of a stone is pain.
Yes.
And it's a colicky pain, right? Can you describe that? Like what you see, how people describe it to you, what this pain feels like? Because not every flank pain is a kidney stone.
It's not hard to know, because these are the people that come to emergency, and they're just writhing on the ground, and there's no position that's comfortable, because it doesn't matter what position, that stone is still blocking the pee.
Okay.
So if you have somebody who says, oh, I'm in a lot of pain, but if I stay still, I don't move, I feel better. But if I bend this way, it hurts. That's not typical for a stone. Stones will hurt in any position. The pain, however, will come and go because your muscles peristalse, which means they contract in a wave-like fashion. So when they contract, lots of pressure, lots of pain, and then they relax, you feel better. That's why the pain comes and goes.
Okay, and that's the pain from the stone in the ureter.
Yes.
And where do they feel the pain?
Because it backs up, it stretches the kidney. So even if you have a stone that's coming down the ureter, it backs up into the kidney. And then you also can feel it. Some people will feel that, the pain's moving down a bit.
Like in my groin sometimes.
In the groin. Yeah. And as it gets really close to the bladder, the tube goes through the bladder muscle. And as it's stuck right in that area, it irritates the bladder. So all of a sudden, you get frequency, urgency, you feel like you gotta go pee, and you pee and it still is irritating. That's because the stone is causing irritation there.
Okay, all right, so we've got the stone going from the kidney to the ureter, ureter to the bladder, and can irritate everything along the way.
Until it pops out into the bladder.
And then you get relief.
Once that stone, if it can get down that tube into the bladder, the urethra is 10 times bigger, and it'll get out through the urethra.
Okay. Does that hurt coming out the urethra? Oh.
Well, in most cases, no, but I've had men who passed like 12 millimeter stones, and those can hurt.
No doubt. All right, so that's the natural process, if it's gonna clear itself naturally like that. Are there situations where it just doesn't?
Yes, and that's what keeps me in business.
There you go. All right, can you share a little bit of wisdom with what happens when that stone just won't leave on its own?
And like, how do you diagnose? So someone comes, we're concerned that there's a stone that's not passing. What do you do? They call you, they're like, Pete, come down here. There's some guy, we're pretty sure he's got a kidney stone. What, like blood work, investigations, examination, what do you do?
So first thing, your analysis may show a little bit of blood.
Okay.
May not, but the diagnostic things are CT renal colic with no contrast. And if you're younger, an ultrasound because you want to avoid the radiation.
Okay.
Okay, and you said no contrast because...
Don't need it to image the first stones.
Okay, or ultrasound to avoid the radiation. And there you can see the stones. All stones on X-ray, I think the calcium ones for sure. Can you see the uric acid stones?
On CT scan, yes. On a plain X-ray, there's stones don't show up, or if there's small stones, it's very hard to see.
On a plain
so
X-ray.
So CT scan, or if you're younger, ultrasound.
Okay, all right. Diagnosis made.
Yep.
We see this stone is stuck in the ureter. It ain't moving.
So then we have to decide what are the chances of this passing on its own.
Okay.
And that usually is dependent on the size of the stone and the location. So the bigger the stone, obviously, the harder it is to pass. And the cutoff, for everybody's different. But usually when it gets to be about, 6, 7, 8 millimeters, you're getting in the range where it's a little more difficult. Now, it also depends on how long are you willing to wait.
Right.
Because the body adapts. When you give it time, things start, the body starts to stretch and relax more, and it helps to push that stone out. So we give patients medications that can relax the muscles. It's the same one, actually, that we use for the prostate, like Flomax.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that helps to relax the muscles, help the stone pass. Drinking lots of water and alcohol, like taking a can of beer, will be like a diuretic, and it can help push that stone out.
I like this
also,
video.
Also, anything that shakes your body, so running on the treadmill, that helps to sort of jar your body and
wait
helps
a sec.
To push
so you
the stone
literally
out.
Just told me drink a beer and then run on the treadmill, but I'm in so much pain. How, maybe the beer I can do. I'm probably not going to be able to run on the treadmill, am I?
Don't forget the pain comes and goes.
Oh, between writhing pain, I'm like, quick, do an interval.
No. Yeah, because that stone, the pain might go away for hours or even days because what happens as the stone's coming out, it might move a little bit and the urine can actually pass around it.
Okay.
So there's no pressure, and there's no distension, no pain. Then it moves a little bit more, everything gets blocked, and the pain starts again. So that's why the pain comes and goes as it's moving out.
No, we kind of jumped past this a little bit. Do you do anything for the pain when they're in the ER? Rather, you just say, hey, here's a beer, here's some water, get on the treadmill.
We hit them hard with pain medication.
Okay.
And that usually is something that... the eMERGE docs are great at doing.
Combination of anti-inflammatories plus or minus narcotics.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
So the size of the stone, sorry. Right. So the size of the stone is important, and then the location.
Okay.
So
it's if like real estate.
If the stone.
Size of the home and
exactly, location. And the location. Right. So when the stone is coming out of the kidney, mm-hmm. When we get the CT, if it's higher up, you know, it's got a longer way to go to get out. Right. If we do the CT and the stone's already down low near the bladder, we know that it's almost home free.
Yeah.
And putting the location and the size of the stone will give us an idea of what we have to do.
Okay. So let's say you hit that threshold where you're like, we have to do something. What are those things that you can do, that you can offer?
So if we have to do something, that means, you know, the pain is bad and we don't think it'll pass for the reasons we've mentioned, or if there's any signs of an infection.
So fever, something like that.
If there's fever, you can get really bad infections really quickly. So we're very careful about intervening quickly whenever there's a fever or an elevated white count to get those stones and get them unblocked. So to do that, the quick and urgent way of doing it is to do a procedure when the patient is asleep.
Okay.
And we use a small camera, go in through the urethra of the penis or the urethra into the bladder, and then we go up the tube to where the stone is, and we use a laser to break the stone into little pieces, and we can use a basket to take out some of those pieces, and then we often leave in a little tube called a stent, mm-hmm. and that's because there's lots of inflammation from the procedure and from going in. If we don't leave the stent tube, then everything will swell shut, and then you get the infection.
Does that stay forever, the stent?
Just for a few days, usually about a week, and by that time the infection or the inflammation is gone, and then the stent comes out.
So you go back in and take it out? So
usually we use we leave a little string that comes out through the urethra.
Come on.
Like a parachute.
And then you come back a week later, and we can slide it out in about 10 seconds.
It's like crab fishing.
It's I've never done that, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing.
Breaking up these stones with a laser inspired by the game Asteroids, or is it vice versa?
That's a good question.
Okay, so you've got that option, going in mechanically, really just to break up the stone, letting them out. Anything else, lithotripsy, that kind of stuff we've heard about?
We can do shockwaves. The shockwaves is basically you lay on a special table. Mm-hmm. Shockwaves are sent through your body. There's no insertion of anything anywhere.
Okay.
And it lines up the shock waves on the stone, which can break it into many small little pieces. Okay. And the question is, when would you do one or the other? Now, shock waves, at least here in Canada, in a lot of cases, we do have a waiting time. And, you know, the wait time will vary. It could be 1 to 2 to 3 weeks to get in for a treatment. Okay. And most people who have a kidney stone don't want to wait that long.
Right.
So if it's an urgent thing, the pain's bad, we do the laser treatment, the mm-hmm. ureteroscopy going up with the scope. Mm-hmm. If it's something that we can wait on or treat them with pain medications, then we can send them for shockwaves. However, you can only shock a stone if it's visible on an X-ray, because the shockwave machine doesn't use a CT scan or an ultrasound, at least the ones we have here in Ontario. There are shockwave machines that use ultrasound.
Okay.
And that, if the stone doesn't show up on an X-ray,
can't focus the beam.
We can't break the stone. So that's important to understand. Even if it's visible on an ultrasound or CT scan, it has to be visible on an X-ray.
For the machines that we use.
Yes.
Now, in other healthcare systems, are they quicker to go to lithotripsy, this shockwave therapy?
Yes. Like, for instance, you know, you go to major U.S. cities, they'll have a shockwave machine on every corner.
Okay. And so that's a quicker, they can get to that quicker than
especially ones with good salad bars that have a lot of spinach.
Now, having said that, there's a lot of caveats. So the success rate of treatment is much higher when you go up with the scope, because you see the stone, you can fragment them many little pieces. When you do the shock waves, it might break that 10 millimeter stone into three pieces, and then you have to pass each of those pieces one by one, each which can be very painful.
Got it.
And you know, it's the success rate in one go is less than if you do the ureteroscopy.
Okay. So a lot of ways to skin a cat.
Yes.
All right. So aside from those two main treatment options, that covers pretty well all your treatment options. For this
if it's a bigger stone, that's, for instance, growing in the kidney, then we may have to go in through the skin with a little tube called a percutaneous stone removal procedure. And that can break up the fragments and take them out, because if we go from below, everything we break up has to come out through that little tube.
Right. Okay.
So it depends on the urologist will assess the size of the stone and how dense they think it is, and then decide the best route.
And the percutaneous is ultrasound guided, x-ray guided, CT guided?
Well, to get the insertion of the tube, it's usually ultrasound guided insertion or x-ray guided.
Gotcha. All right.
That's a lot.
Anything else you got to tell us about these darn stones?
Well, it's not a fun condition, but it usually most centers can deal with these very quickly and effectively, and that's what we're trained to do.
Would you say that's one of the more common things you get called about in the evenings or on call?
Yes. Kidney stones are very, very common, and because of that, we're experts at dealing with it.
Love it.
Thank you. Thank you for painting it black for us.
Okay. Oh, man, more Rolling Stones. If you like this video, please like it. Subscribe to our channel. Share it with someone that you know is suffering with kidney stones or wondering what the heck are they going to do about their stone.
Yeah, leave a comment about how much it hurts if you've had one. We're looking for descriptive words. And remember, you are in charge of your own health.
We'll see you next time.
And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Take care.
We'll see you next time.